the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. اما بعد اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ ماشاءاللہ viewers of Madani channel welcome to the early morning show from the UK rise and shine but as you know on rise and shine we always begin by giving you a blessing of reciting durood pak upon the prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is narrated in the famous hadith books of Tirmidhi Sharif that the most glorious Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ordered that the closest individual to me on the day of judgment will be the one who recited durood-e pak upon me most in the largest quantity. So the person who did recited durood-e pak the most will be closest to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. And in light of this, before we go to this Lawat views of Malaysia, in light of this, Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, elaborates on this. He says that the most tranquil human on the day of judgment shall be whoever is closest to the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the route to acquiring the close proximity to Allah's Messenger is an abundance of reciting Durood-e Pak. This illustration that the recitation of Durood-e Pak is an incredibly virtuous deed, since all of the deeds lead to paradise, yet this leads to the groom of paradise. Allahu Akbar. So please make a habit, viewers of Madani channel, of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned it before, but please make it a habit. Make it part of your daily routine. Set aside some time, be it when you're traveling to work, coming, going for work, or whatever you're doing, set some time aside to recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani channel, you know that when you watch Arise and Shine, after the blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, we have the privilege and honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's now go and listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
فمن تاب من بعد ظلمه واصلح فإن الله يتوب عليه
تو جو اپنے ظلم کے بعد توبہ کرے اور سنور جائے تو اللہ اپنی مہر سے اس پر رجوع فرمائے گا
ان اللہ غفور رحیم
بے شک اللہ بخشنے والا مہربان ہے
الم تعلم ان اللہ له ملک السماوات والارض يعذب من يشاء ويغفر لمن
کیا تجھے معلوم نہیں کہ اللہ کے لیے ہے آسمانوں اور زمین کی بادشاہی سزا دیتا ہے جسے چاہے اور بخشتا ہے جسے چاہے
واللہ علی کل شیء قدیر
اور اللہ سب کچھ کر سکتا ہے
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم Viewers of Madani channel, you're watching Rise and Shine and we just have the privilege and honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. And I said it before that when you make a habit of listening to the Quran, then hopefully, you know, first thing in the morning, this anxiety that we feel, this pressure that we feel, this fear that we feel, many of us fear this for the coming day ahead of what problems we're going to face. Hopefully, this will give us the spiritual upliftment. This will give us the spiritual strength that we can face the rest of the day. So please make a habit of reading and listening to the Quran on a daily basis. And better still, if as a family, we could sit down as a family, recite at least 3 ayats of the Quran with translation and commentary so that the whole of the family could benefit with it as well. What are we going to talk about today, viewers of my channel? Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the daughters of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sacrifices that they made, the way they lived their lives. And hopefully we can all learn something from it. Not just the sisters, but the brothers as well. But I'm hoping that one, we'll be aware of how they lived their lives, the sacrifices that they made, and also some lessons that we can learn from the past that we can implement today to make a better tomorrow. But before we begin the topic properly, we're now going to go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah. As you know, that when you listen to the Tilawat of the Quran, straight after that, soon after that rather, we listen to some Kalam. Let's go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah, to give us the extra spiritual uplift. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Tu shamme risalat hai.
Risalat hai aqa
Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. I pray that you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in the studio in the UK as well. Views of the channel, what are we talking about today? Today we're talking about the blessed daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And I'm hoping that the intention of today is that hopefully for our sisters, they will have some role models as well. They'll be able to look up to these people and they'll be able to aspire to become like them. And at the same time, viewers of the channel, for our brothers that are out there, how, you know, we should treat our daughters as well, because these were the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in his life was an example for us, was a way for us, was a method for us, was a teaching manual for us of how to live our lives. And hopefully we're going to learn something from it today. With regards to the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidatuna Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala, she was the eldest daughter of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore we're going to talk about her first. Sayyidatuna Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, she was born 10 years before the declaration of prophethood. And at the time, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 30 years of age, and obviously she was born in Makkatul Mukarramah. And she was obviously an embodiment of a pious lady, and she was someone that had a lot of patience and she would never ever complain. And you can imagine that she was brought up in the household of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at the time when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced the prophethood, announced to the people, and started to spread the religion of Islam, at that time the Muslims were small in number. So she saw this from a young age. She was 10 years old when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced prophethood. And so she started to see the persecution. She saw all this oppression of her blessed father at such a young age. And what happened, viewers and listeners, at that time, you know, the people of Makkah, they passed all limits of oppression. They did everything. And you've heard of many, many stories in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rubbish was thrown on him. They hear the stories of where stones were thrown at him. They hear the stories of where, you know, he was beaten up. And all these sort of things happened. And she grew up seeing all of this. She grew up, she was only a small girl, 10 years, 11, 12, 13 years of age, in an early teens, and she saw all of this oppression taking place on her blessed father. So what a, you know, what an a hard upbringing she had. And even within that, she was taught patience, and she was taught never to complain when all this was happening. And so, you know, viewers of my channel, when something happens to ourselves, it's okay, we can take it. You know, they say you can take it on the chin. You can take it on the chin. But when it happens to your parents, your loved ones, you find it very hard to remain patient. You find it very, very hard to accept the situation. But Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, she was a young girl at that time. She was maybe in her early teens as it started. And she witnessed all this. But she maintained this oppression. And the enemies of Islam, they look for all sorts of opportunities to oppress the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oppress the family of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and oppress all of those individuals who were also entered into the fold of Islam. We've talked about them on various programs as well. But Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, she didn't also get away with it. Just because she was a female, just because she was a daughter of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was also persecuted. And it's stated that the husband of Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala sent her to Madinah al-Munawwarah after the Battle of Badr. And when the disbelievers of Makkah found out about the departure, they went in pursuit of her. They went in pursuit of her and they went and chased after her. And when they got close to her, they struck her. They struck Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala with a spear. She was on a camel and she fell off the camel. And at the time of this, she was expecting and she had a miscarriage because this spear had pierced her body. Even during these times, she showed patience. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam found out about this, he was obviously very, very grieved over the incident that his daughter, one, she'd been attacked on this journey, one, that a spear, she'd been attacked in such an extent that, you know, if you mention, imagine yourself that if your daughter, and you know, we talked a little bit earlier on about how that if your family is attacked and persecuted, it's hard, but imagine your own daughter being attacked. Imagine your own daughter being speared. Imagine your own daughter falling off a camel. Imagine your own daughter losing, you know, a child, having that miscarriage. How much grief you would have inside yourself. And amongst all, you know, and on top of all of the griefs and the problems that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was facing at that time, on top of this, he had that his blessed daughter had been attacked. And he became severely grieved over this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became severely grieved over this. And he mentioned her virtues. And he continued to mention his virtues all his life. He said that she is the superior amongst my daughters from their aspect of suffering such great hardship whilst migrating to me. She was coming to me and she suffered such great hardship. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when it comes to suffering hardship, she is the most superior of all of my daughters. She passed away, viewers of Money Channel, on the 8th of Hijrah. And from the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also learn that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had so much compassion for his blessed daughter that even after her demise, he continued to praise her. He continued to praise her, and these words have been, you know, etched in the books of hadith that we'll remember them to the day of judgment, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praising his daughter for the hardship that she took, and praising his daughter for the hardship that she took in coming to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was targeted, viewers of the channel. It wasn't just a random attack. It wasn't just like people are traveling from A to B and a caravan's traveling and people go and attack the caravan and, you know, loot the caravan. She was targeted specifically because she was the daughter of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And, you know, there's a lesson there for us, viewers of the channel, that if we look at the past, if we look at the sacrifices that were made by these people, and then look at ourselves, and we keep on saying this, viewers and Muslim channel, look at the sacrifices of the pack and look at the sacrifices that we make. We're not making anything. You know, when we say to you, travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, we say to the brothers, you know, we're not even saying to the sisters, travel on a brother's kafir. We're saying to the brothers, travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. In this case, our sister, our blessed, you know, the daughter of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she traveled. And when we say to the brothers, travel, that they don't. They're afraid of traveling, or they're scared of traveling, or they can't be bothered traveling, or they're too busy to travel. When these people of the past traveled in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal for the sake of Islam, they migrated for the sake of Islam. Not only just traveled, but migrated for the sake of Islam. They were attacked, they were persecuted, they were met with spears, they were met with swords, they were met with all sorts of things. Nowadays, many times, I've traveled on Madri Kafir, you go to places, and the, you know, the Masjid Committee, they meet you with flowers and garlands, and they have big, you know, tablecloths of food to welcome you. They're so happy to receive you. But the people of the past, the sacrifices that they made, and not only that, we also know from the history of Islam that the early companions of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they migrated. They didn't just travel, they migrated for the sake of Islam, leaving your own homes, leaving everything that you have got for the improvement, for the betterment of Islam. And these people did this. What a great sacrifice that was, to leave your homeland for the sake of Islam. So these afflictions, these calamities that the people felt of the past, and continue to do, some do, I'm not saying it doesn't happen now, it does happen in some cases. Some people even today face problems and afflictions for the sake of Islam. They make sacrifices for the sake of Islam. But the people of the past, without doubt, I think we can all agree that the afflictions, the calamities, the sacrifices that the people of the past made, neither are we being asked to make them, nor would many of us be able to make them sacrifices, the sacrifices that they made. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in light of this, he talks about those people who face calamities and show patience. In one hadith, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whomsoever Allah Azza wa Jal intends good for him, Allah afflicts a calamity upon him. Allahu Akbar. Think about that, viewers of my channel. That these people, that, you know, when people have a calamity upon them, then again, we need to show patience. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, the calamity is afflicted upon a person according to how religious he is. If he is firm in religion, then his calamity is also firm. And if he is weak in his religion, then Allah Azza wa Jal tests him according to his religious status. A person keeps on getting afflicted with calamities to the extent that all his sins are forgiven in this world. You know, as I was reading that, I was thinking to myself that how weak my iman must be. That Allah Azza wa Jal is not really inflicted any real calamity upon me. I've been blessed. So maybe the reason is that my iman is so weak, my status is so weak, that Allah only tests people those. And so there's a lot of messages in there for us, viewers of the channel, that if you are afflicted by any calamity, people out of work, not earning money, and yes, they are facing problems. Yeah. A lot of us here in the UK are not facing any problems whatsoever in comparison to what people are facing around the world. Here, the, you know, the people have the wealth, people have the benefits, and people are looked after. And there's nobody really that's starving in a country like UK. However, there are people around the world that are starving. There are people around the world that are facing different calamities. We heard recently about the floods that happened in Karachi and Sindh in Pakistan. We hear about the earthquakes that are happening around the world, tsunamis that are happening around the world, floods that are happening around the world. And at the same time, we see the patience of the people that are there. Now, we may say, well, they've got no choice. They've got to be patient. Well, yes, you are right in a sense, but that is a test for them to show that patience then. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give them patience. May Allah Azza wa Jal give them help from the unseen. And may Allah Azza wa Jal reward them for their patience. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us the ability to be patient in the face of calamities. So we learn, viewers of the channel, from the life of this one daughter. And we'll talk about the other daughters a little bit later on as well. That the calamities that she faced, the persecution that she faced, and even then, she never complained. Throughout her life, she never complained. And you can just think and vision the life that she led, viewers of the channel. She was a young child brought up at that time when the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was being persecuted. She was a young child brought up at that time when the battles of, you know, she was married and she was, you know, still a young woman at the time of Badr, at the time of Uhud. She saw all of this happening in front of her eyes. And yet she faced it with patience. She faced it with sabr. And she thanked Allah Azza wa Jal all along the way. Viewers of the channel, we're going to just take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day. And then inshallah, Azza wa Jal, after the reminder of the day, we'll continue to talk about the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our daily reminder. Inshallah, Azzawajal, a very beautiful piece of advice from a personality. He says, when you are about to commit a sin, think about three things. Number one, Allah is watching you. Number two, angels are recording your deeds. And number three, death is closer than you think. Now if you take all of these three advices from this person, subhanallah, azawajal, you know how true it is that whenever we commit a sin, always think to yourself, Allah Ta'ala is watching over us. We can't hide anywhere. You can't go into a dark cave and think that I can commit a sin here. Allah Ta'ala, ma'azallah, will not be watching me. That will never happen. You can't go into the deepest of the oceans and commit a sin thinking to yourself that Allah Azza wa Jal, ma'azallah, will not watch me. Allah Ta'ala, you can be anywhere. You can be in the deepest part of the world, in the deepest part of the ocean. You can be anywhere where no one is watching you. But remember, Allah Azza wa Jal is always watching you. We can never be out of the lands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, have this conscious, have this thought inside ourselves that Allah Ta'ala is watching you. And then the other thing, that whenever we commit a sin, the angels, the kiraman katibin, these two angels, they will write the bad deed. They will write the sin that we have done. And remember, that sin will stay there forever. But the pleasure of what we have done, the pleasure of that sin will vanish one time. And then what will happen? The sin will remain forever until we do tawbah. And ma'azallah, Allah Ta'ala forbid, if we do not do tawbah, we will be held responsible on the day of judgment. So always think to yourself that it's not something that we do and then nothing's going to happen. No one's going to find out. You might be locked up, locking yourself up in a room. You've got all the locks on. No one's watching you. You've turned off the security cameras. You think no one is watching you. You think that you are alone at home. No one is watching you. No person is watching you. Your Creator is always aware of you. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. La ta'khuzuhu. Allah Azza wa Jal is always watching you. Allah Ta'ala knows what you are doing. Allah Ta'ala even knows the thoughts that are going through your mind. Allah Ta'ala knows what you are thinking about in your heart. So how can we escape Allah Azza wa Jal? And then these kiraman katibin, every time they are ready to write all our bad deeds, all our good deeds, make sure these angels are busy writing our good deeds rather than making them busy writing your sins. Because what will happen is these sins, they will remain forever. And the enjoyment that we get from committing a sin, that enjoyment will not last forever. It lasts for what? 1 minute, 2 minutes, a few minutes, a few hours, a few days, and then what? That enjoyment will go, but that sin will remain with us. And just imagine, the third thing, death is closer than you think. Just we think that we're going to be old. You think that you're going to be 65, 70, 100 years old before you die. That's not the case. Go to the graveyard and look at the gravestones, and you'll find many people that are buried inside the graveyard. They are under 50 years old. So what makes us think that we are going to live forever? What makes us think that I can carry on with my life? Nothing's going to happen. I can enjoy myself. You can still enjoy yourself by, you know, and being inside the beautiful boundaries of Sharia. Who says you can't enjoy yourself? You can enjoy yourself, but enjoy yourself in rather than displeasing, rather than angering Allah Azza wa Jal. Enjoy yourself by pleasing your Rabb. Enjoy yourself by following the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, once we live a life of these thoughts in our mind, that always be conscious. One Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, whenever he used to offer his salah, he used to be, you know, so conscious about his death. He used to be conscious that death is just behind me. He used to think to himself that I am walking over the bridge of Sirat. He used to think to himself that my death is chasing me and my grave is ready for me. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, our graves may be dug. Our coffins will already be prepared for us. But we are heedless. We don't know what we are doing. We are living our life as if nothing is going to happen. Things will change dramatically. Things can change overnight. Things can change in a second. Anything can happen. So always be prepared that when you die, you are going to meet your Rabb Azza wa Jal. When you leave this world, when you are inside that dark grave, the Munkar Nakir will come inside your grave. They will ask you the answers. So always prepare for that. What a beautiful advice. Let me remember these three things again. Number one, before you sin, think to yourself, Allah is watching you. Number two, Allah's angels are recording your deeds. And number three, death is closer than you think. If you had a security camera, and would you see people robbing from that place, they'll be thinking twice. Why? Security cameras are on. Someone is watching me. Yeah, people are scared of security cameras because some person is watching them. Are we not scared of Allah, who is always watching over us? Are we not scared that Allah Azza wa Jalla is always watching me? Are we not scared that the angels are writing the bad deeds? And are we not scared that the lazzat will finish one day and the sin will stay with me forever? Now is the time that we did tawbah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and we just heard a beautiful Madani pearl there from Hafiz Rafaqat Attari about the fact, and it's something that we keep on mentioning. I'm thinking if we can develop that mindset, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching us. Whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, whatever good deed we are performing, whatever bad deed, unfortunately, we're going towards, and have this mindset that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching us. And if we develop that mindset, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla will refrain from doing good, and also will make good intentions. We'll refrain from doing bad, and we'll make good intentions when we're doing good as well. So try and develop this mindset. I know it's not an easy mindset to develop. And in light of this, that's why, I mean, last time we printed stickers and I've got one in my office. Allah is watching us. Allah is watching us. And, you know, develop that mindset. Put it in your cars. Put it in your houses. Just as a constant reminder there. And hopefully as a result of that, you'll refrain from committing sins and you'll have a mindset develop that I am being watched. I am being recorded. I cannot hide. I cannot switch the light off and nobody can see me. I cannot close the door and nobody can hear me. Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching me and everything is recorded. Viewers of the channel, today what we're talking about the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned before the break that Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, she passed away in 8th al-Hijri. But she left a son named Ali and also a daughter named Umama. Now Ali got martyred in the Battle of Yarmouk, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he immensely loved Sayyidina's daughter Umama radiallahu ta'ala. He loved his daughter so much. And it said that the king of Abyssinia sent a garment and a precious ring as a gift in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent that garment and that ring to his granddaughter Sayyidina Umama radiallahu ta'ala. And again, you know, this is again a message there for you viewers, the love that the father has for his daughter, the love that the father has for his granddaughters as well. And similarly, once somebody gifted a very precious and beautiful necklace to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the blessed wives, they thought to themselves that which wife is going to get this necklace. They thought that Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, she is the one that will get this necklace because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appears to love her the most. So this is what they were all expecting. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give it to any of his wives. He gave it to his granddaughter Sayyidina Umama radiallahu ta'ala. Again, this is a show of love that he had. And when he was asked, who are you going to give this to? He said, I will make the one word this necklace who is most beloved to me amongst my household. And after saying this, he gave it to Sayyidina Umama radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Again, love, affection. That nowadays, do we see this, viewers of Madani Channel? Do we see love and affection for our children? Do we see love and affection for our grandchildren? And also, it's sad to say that even today there are some communities within our Muslims that are upset when a daughter is born in the household. They do not distribute, you know, people have this custom where they distribute sweets in the household when, you know, a child is born. But when a daughter is born, they don't. And again, this is the times of ignorance, viewers and watchers. It's not the way of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so happy to see his daughters. He was so happy to go and visit his daughters. And after the demise of their daughters, if they passed away when he was alive, then he also cared for their children as well. That was the love that he had for them. For him, it wasn't that the daughters got married, they'd gone to a different household, then I forget about it, nothing to do with me. Their children, nothing to do with me. Their lives, nothing to do with me. No. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam still remembered them. And to the extent that when these beautiful gifts were came, when these beautiful things that would come from such high dignitaries at the time, the kings of Abyssinia, that these gifts came, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had so many people that he could have given it to. He had his own wives that he could have given these gifts to, but no, he gave it to his granddaughters. And again, there's a message there for his viewers of Manchang, that how we need to look after our family, how we need to appreciate our family, how we need to be love and kindness to our families as well. Sayyidina Ruqayya radiyallahu ta'ala, she was also one of the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was 7 years of age before the declaration of Nubuwa, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was 33 years of age. And she also, viewers of Manchang, she also was brought up in that household in which we see that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being persecuted. She was a young child. She was 7 years of age when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced Nubuwwah. And obviously at that time, she was in her early years, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, when she saw that her blessed father was being persecuted. She attained the privileged viewers of Madani Channel of being amongst the first caravan of Muslims that migrated in Islam. She attained the privilege of migrating twice to Abyssinia and once to Medina Sharif. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he married her to Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu anhu. And both the husband and the wife first migrated towards Abyssinia and then towards Medina, and they were blessed with the title of those people that migrated twice. And here's the channel, we see that before Islam came, wives used to be severely oppressed. They used to be beaten up, and they were the rights of the, you know, they had no rights whatsoever. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a mercy to all the world, he didn't just come as a mercy to the brothers, he came as a mercy to all of the world. Then he not only stressed upon the way that the husband should treat the wives nicely, but also mentioned the virtues of treating the wives nicely. He also mentioned the virtues of treating your daughters kindly. This is all new at that time, viewers of Madani Channel. So maybe nowadays when you see people treating the daughters nicely or treating the wives nicely, even now people in some communities look down on this. But this was completely alien at the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was unknown to treat your wives nicely. They were just commodities, effectively. They were just a commodity that they had and they kept and they discarded when they were not happy with them. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought a change, brought a revolution, brought a change in the mindset of how people should be taught. And we hear in the history of the universe, effectively, you hear in the history of the universe how women's rights came. That it was not until the early 20th century that in many so-called modern countries that women had rights to vote, women had rights to own property, women had rights to do this. But all of these rights were given to the women in Islam for more than 1400 years ago. These privileges, these respect, the status that was given to the woman was given more than 1400 years ago, which in many, many countries around the world were not accepted until either Islam came there or maybe 12, 13, 1400 years had passed. With regards to treating your wives, viewers of Madani Channel, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be the best amongst you. The best amongst you, he is the best for his household. And I am the best for my household amongst you all. Allahu Akbar. So he didn't just preach. He practiced what he preached. He was a pure example of this. And he was the best amongst his household. He would go into his household. He would help his blessed wives with cleaning and cooking and washing and repairing clothes. He took part in all of these activities. Nowadays, when you say to the brothers, why are you not helping the wives? They say, well, we're too busy. We're too busy. So you're busier than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. None of us are. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam found time for everything. He found time for everything. And we mentioned it before. I don't know if you, maybe you weren't watching on the program where I mentioned this once before. There was the shura of Dawat Islami, the executive committee that arranges all of the affairs of Dawat Islami, holds meetings in Pakistan every 2 or 3 months. And I believe one is taking place probably this weekend as well. And once these meetings have taken place, the strategic planning meetings have taken place, the minutes of the meeting, the Madani pearls are distributed and we receive them. And in one such meeting, Nigrani Shura is the head of this executive cabinet. He gave a Madani pearl and he said that if we can balance our life by these four things, then you'll become successful. And he said that these four things that I'm going to mention, they're not like they need to be equal. It's like you're cooking a dish that you need a little bit of this, you need some of this, maybe a bit more of this, and maybe less of this. But you need these four ingredients in your life to be successful, in the same way that you need these four ingredients in the dish that you're making for it to be tasty. And he went on to say that number one, you need to earn money. Yeah, money should not be our priority, but money is a need. Unfortunately, what happens nowadays, money has become our priority. It's become everything in our lives and everything else we forget. Yes, we need money, but it should not be our priority. He said you need money. Not doubting it, you know. We need to earn money. We need to buy goods. We need to buy clothes, food, everything. We need these things. We need to run a household. Secondly, you need to spend time with your family. Time with your family. The third one was giving your own special, your own personal spiritual development. Reading the Quran, your own extra nafal, extra whatever ibadah you do. Your extra spiritual improvement, your own knowledge improvement. And fourth is giving back to the Deen of Islam. Spending some time in spreading the Deen of Islam. But that second one, spending time with the family. How many will spend time with the family? You may be, I don't know, maybe if there's any mubaliks of Dawat Islami watching now, that maybe you think, well, I'm running here, I'm running there, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. All well and good. But do you not also spend time with your family as well? Again, it's a very important aspect. A very, very important aspect of your life that needs to be. That you may be somebody that's a high-fly businessman, you may be a lawyer, a chancellor, a director, whatever you are in your field, or you may be a high zimadar within the Dawat Islami, but your family needs your time. You are the one, you are part of that environment that can give the upbringing of your children. The mother is part of the upbringing, the father is part of the upbringing, but if what happens if they are not there, then what upbringing would our children have? And unfortunately, viewers of Muslim, I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes with the husband and the wife. What do? They drop off the children to the grandparents' house on a Sunday night. Listen to this. I've seen it. They drop off the parents and the children to the grandparents' house on a Sunday night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're working. They're not working 12 hours a day, 16 hours a day. They work 8 hours a day. So they come home at 5 o'clock or whatever it is, 6 o'clock. But no, they need their rest. They can't have children around. I ain't got time. I need my own personal time. And then on Friday, they'll pick up the children. They'll have them Friday night and Saturday night. Saturday and Sunday. Then Sunday night, they'll drop them off to the parents again. Why? Because I'm too busy earning money. Why? Because we need this. And you see them. Yes, they have big houses. But why do they need these big houses? When they've not got time for their children. So it's our children that need the time, viewers of Mother Channel. We need to spend that time with the children. We need to treat our families and give them, that'll be the proper upbringing, treat our wives kindly and be there for our children as well. With regards, we were talking about treating our wives nicely. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also goes on to say that the best amongst you all is the one who is good to his wives and to his daughters. Be good to your wife and be good to your daughters. And again, unfortunately, that's something that we see within our society nowadays. That we don't treat our wives kindly. We don't treat our daughters kindly. I've even been to some places, viewers of Money Channel, where the men of the household, the sons of the household, they will eat first. And then if, only if there is anything left over, if there's any food left over, once they've had to their fill, if there's anything left over, then the wives and the daughters can eat. And it's not as if there's guests there that, you know, oh, you know, we have to eat separate, the brothers and sisters have to. This one family unit. But no, the men have to eat first, and whatever's left over, the women. This is not Islam. This is not what we were taught. What is happening here when this happens? And I hope that what I see, maybe I've seen it with my own eyes, and I hope that that is a minority, that is maybe, I hope and I pray that is a one-off case, but I'm afraid it may not be. Is this what our Islam teaches? Is this what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us when he said, treat your wives and your daughters kindly by leaving them to last? By spending on your sons, getting them the nicest clothes, the nicest shoes, and not giving anything for your daughters? Is that what Islam is teaching us? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also goes on to say, no believer shall consider any believer wife to be an enemy. If he is displeased of any of her habits, then he will be pleased with any other habit. And regarding this blessed hadith, viewers of Madani Channel, Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmadiyar Khan, Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated, what a beautiful teaching that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught. The purpose of saying this is that it is impossible to find a flawless wife. You know, we are flawless. We have mistakes and we have weaknesses inside ourselves. And he goes on to say that it's impossible to find a flawless wife. Therefore, even if you find a few flaws in the wife, then bird, as you will find a few attributes in her as well. And the author of Mirqat states that here, that the one who remains in search of a flawless companion will end up being on his own in the world. We ourselves have thousands of flaws. Forgive the flaws of every friend and loved one and look at their virtues, yet do strive to reform them. Flawless is only the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the only one that is flawless. We all have mistakes inside ourselves. And what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, viewers of the channel, is that when, if you find, you know, because it happens, you know, you have differences. No two individuals are exactly the same. And even when they're exactly the same, there'll be clashes. So you will have these differences of opinion. You'll have these clashes in the household. You'll have things that you do not like about your spouse. There'll be sisters that will not like certain things about the husband. There'll be husbands who don't like certain things about the sisters. But when you see those things that you don't like, when you see these flaws inside them, and yes, there may be genuine flaws inside them, have patience and try and focus on the good things. Because everybody has good in them as well as bad in them. Look at the good in them and focus on the bad. If you keep on focus on the good, because if you keep on focusing on the bad, then the whole family will break apart. If you focus on the good in people, look at the good inside people, then inshallah azwajal, you'll have a comfortable life. It is stated, viewers of Madani Channel, that the one who showed patience over the bad manners of his wife, Allah azawajal will reward him like Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam reward for his observance of patience over the calamity. And if the woman observes patience over the bad manners of her husband, Allah azawajal will reward her like the reward of the wife of Pharaoh, Aisha radiallahu anha. So again, patience. Yes, your husband has bad manners. Yes, your wife has bad manners. Yes, you've got these problems in the household. But have patience with each other. Have patience with each other. Look at the good in each other. Don't look at the flaws in each other. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the hadith of the day. Let's go to the hadith of the day and see what we are going to learn today. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The beloved messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said, Inna Allah harrama alal ardi an ta'kula ajsad al anbiya'i fa nabiyullahi hayyun yurzaq. This hadith is mentioned in Ibn Majah. The translation being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram, has forbidden the earth to consume the bodies of the prophets. The Prophet of Allah is alive and is given sustenance. And in reality, the living of the prophets is greater than the living of the martyrs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. And it's something that we cannot perceive. Through our senses, we cannot understand. We are informed of this. And we believe in this, as is the way of the Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. We know that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam witnessed that Sayyidina Musa alaihi salam was praying in his grave on the night of ascension. And he met Sayyidina Musa alaihi salam at Masjid al-Aqsa. He also met him in the heavens. The Prophets prayed behind our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam on the night of his ascension. The living of the Prophets is a living that is a living in reality, as described by the scholars of hadith and explained by them. They are given this honor because they are from the elite creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a martyr can be given an honor, then the honor given to a prophet will surely be greater. And this is why in other similar traditions, it is clearly mentioned that the prophets are alive in their graves. And the fact that the prophets, for them, death is the fulfillment of the command of Allah subhanahu ta'ala. They simply move from one realm into another realm.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mili Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And today we're talking about the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they were great role models, not just role models for our sisters, but also role models for all of us. Their patience, the ibadah, the piety, how they lived their lives, how they had sabr in the faces of calamities, and the way that they lived their lives and the sacrifices that they made. We were talking about before the break, we were talking about Sayyiduna Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala, and it stated that Sayyiduna Ruqayya, she also passed away in the 9th of Al-Hijri, viewers of Mini Channel. Again, if you think about it, that one of your daughters passes away 1 year, and the next daughter, another daughter passes away the next year. The patience that you need to show in the face of this. And at the same time, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was facing all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of problems he was facing. It also lost his blessed wife as well, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. And all of these tests that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced. And if we look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of these difficulties and calamities and problems that he faced, and yet he was guaranteed paradise, and yet he still showed thankfulness. He still showed shukr in the court of Allah azza wa jal. He would stand up at night and worship Allah azza wa jal all night. His feet would swell up through worshiping Allah azza wa jal all night. And yet, when he was asked that you have been granted paradise, why? And he said, should I not be thankful to my Lord? Should I not be thankful to my Lord? And yet look at all the tests that he faced. Look at all the difficulties that he faced. Can we not remember when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif to invite people to the fold of Islam? And nowadays when we invite people to Islam or call people to the masjid, what happens? What's the worst that can happen to us? They close the door in our face? Say, get out of here, I don't want to speak to you. Is that what they're going to say to us? That's probably the worst they will say to you. But when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif, when he went there, he was stoned. Viewers of the channel, we're just going to take a small package, inshallah, and then when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this program, this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Ya Shafi'e Umam Lillah kar do karam ya Shafi'e. Yeah.
ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Today we're talking about the blessed daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And with us, well, not in the studio, but online, we have a special guest who, alhamdulillah, gives us time as often as possible. And he's also been in the studio here as well. He's also been a host of Rise and Shine as well. Hafiz Rafaqat Attari is on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you, Hafiz? Are you okay?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Are you okay as well, mashallah?
Alhamdulillah. Have you had your lemon tea?
I'm having it now as we speak.
Okay, mashallah. Anyway, Hafiz, have the topic of the day. We're talking about the blessed daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned some of the daughters, but we've not mentioned Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala at all yet. So the stage is here for you. You can talk whatever you wish. You can talk about that particular daughter. You can talk about the upbringing of daughters or whatever you wish. If you can give us some madani pearls on this topic.
MashaAllah, I love this topic of daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And MashaAllah, so Sayyida Fatima, Tayyiba Tahira, MashaAllah, so she is the mother of all the Sadat-e Kiram, Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, one of the she was the youngest daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know she has a lot of contribution towards Islam. You know, in the early days of Makkah, when she was only a young girl, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he ever used to do neki ki dawat, he used to invite people towards Islam. You know, those kuffar of Makkah that used to, you know, hurl abuse on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes they would have the intestines of camels, they'd put it on his neck when he was in sajda. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha would come crying and she would remove that. So she had a lot of role to play in the early days of Islam. And so did the other daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, mashallah, Azawajal, I think you were mentioning about Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the eldest daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Hazrat Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, there's a whole book that has been printed by Maktabatul Madina, Shan-e-Khatoon-e-Jannat radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And I would request especially the Islamic sisters who are watching, and also the Islamic brothers as well, if you are watching this program, to read that booklet. Book is a beautiful book, about 500 pages. But to be honest with you, the way Maktabatul Madina has printed and made it such an easy Urdu language. Now, some people say, oh, it's in Urdu, I wish it was in English. Then I think by the time we get it in English, you'll be able to learn Urdu in that time.
So is that what you're basically saying to me, that I need to learn Urdu?
Correct.
Okay, see you again, inshallah.
There is a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that one who has three daughters and he treats them well, heaven, yani jannat, becomes wajib for that person. Now, wajib means necessary. So anyone out there who has three daughters and they look after them, you know, in a good manner, they educate them. Now, education here, the ulama-i kiram, they mention that it is especially the education of the deen. And then they married them off. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, jannat becomes wajib upon them. And then, you know, it was asked, Ya Rasulullah, what if someone has two daughters? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if there are two. And then someone asked, Ya Rasulullah, what if someone has one daughter? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if there is only one daughter, jannat will become wajib upon that person, the one who takes care of his daughters. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you know, the times have changed, and mashallah, Azza wa Jal, people have learned about, you know, the blessings of daughters as well. Alake, in the early times, you know, we've heard about how people would, you know, bury their daughters alive. But alhamdulillah, now we see that. But even now, that the jahiliyyah is sometimes is cropping back now again.
Well, I know that if you look at Hafsa, you look around the community, you see that people are out there that, you know, people have this mindset that your son will be somebody that will care for me when I get old. That son will be somebody that I'll look after for me when I get old. And you see it, and you've seen it probably more than me, that Hafsa, that there are many, many sons that unfortunately abandon their parents, probably more than. And I remember listening, there was an English saying that when we were at school, there was a saying there, and I remember it, for even today, this shows my memory that is still working, alhamdulillah, that they said that a son is a son until he gets a wife. A daughter is a daughter all your life. that your daughter will always be yours all your life. She'll always love you and respect you all your life. And so that is a message that we need to love and respect our daughters.
MashaAllah, I know an Islamic brother locally as well. He's only got one daughter as well, MashaAllah. She's become an alima as well. And Allah Ta'ala grant her a long, healthy life, MashaAllah. Amen. She's doing a lot of madani work as well. And so is the father that I'm talking to him now.
Do dua for them, Hafiz. But it's true though, Hafiz. You do not know, if you look around you, you do not know what is going to happen. Yeah, because you can see around you that, you know, you see that these sons are not looking after their parents. You see that they've been there. But, you know, the society is broken down so much, and yet we're still, you know, Hafiz, we still have that jahiliyyah inside us that we don't appreciate and love our children in generally. You know, when we talk in general, but when it comes to daughters, and I mentioned earlier, and I don't know if you were here, Hafiz, I remember I went to somewhere in Pakistan once, and I was shocked that we were sitting there, and they said that in our household, the men, the husband, and the daughters, the sons, they would eat the food first, and then only if there was anything left over, the wives and the daughters would eat. And I said, well, what happens if there weren't anything left over? He said, well, they will starve. It's as simple as that. And that jahiliyyah still exists, Hafiz Saab. And we need to somehow change that mindset of people that this is not the way. This is the way of jahiliyyah. You think you are progressing in this dunya. You think you're moving forward in this dunya. You're not. You know, you've gone back 14, 1500 years.
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he would go home, the first thing that he would do is he would kiss the forehead of Sayyidah Fatima radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, and he would always bring her gifts home. So this is a sunnah that we can try to keep alive. Whenever you go home, you know, kiss your daughter's hands, her forehead, and inshallah, Azzawajal, take her a gift. It doesn't have to be anything gold or silver or anything. Then inshallah, Azzawajal, love and respect your daughters, because they will be a means for your entry into paradise, inshallah.
Jazakallah. Thank you for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Viewers of Multan, you've been watching Rise and Shine, and today we've been talking about the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hoping we've basically only scratched the surface. We've only touched the topic. There is so much that we need to learn about these great personalities of Islam, the pious personalities of the past, the lessons that we can learn from their lives, so we can make a change in our lives today. Viewers of Madani Channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise.